Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Developments on the trade front between the U.S. and China continue to confound and seem to be taking two steps forward and one step back. And despite the fact that the Ministry of Commerce of China has confirmed that both sides are agreeing to roll back additional recently imposed tariffs as part of the interim phase one deal, it seems that markets aren't completely convinced that this will actually lead to an agreement, perhaps sometime in December. There's a lot to parse through with regards to the developments of this week alone. And to help us figure out what this means for the major currencies around the world, we're joined on Forex Fridays once again by FXTM's Han Tan, who joins us from Kuala Lumpur. Han, good afternoon to you and happy Friday, buddy.
Happy Friday to you too, JP.
All right, so happy Friday indeed from the news on Thursday that it seems that the U.S. and China might be agreeing to roll back those recently imposed additional tariffs. But again, it's a bit confounding when you look at the news feed today, and it seems that the White House isn't completely on the same page. Economic advisor Larry Kudlow saying that this could be a part of a phase one deal, but then you have trade advisor Peter Navarro saying that this is not a condition of any phase one trade talks, and the only person who can agree to take down these tariffs is President Donald Trump. Again, this must have been a very interesting last couple of 48 hours, at least, for forex traders. Can you give us an idea of how this is impacting movements with regards to the greenback and the Chinese yuan?
Right. I think let's step back real quick. I mean, looking at Asian currencies as a whole, it looks like some doubts are creeping in. But look, investors are used to these conflicting signals, and also that's why we still see a lot of the optimism still baked in. We have seen Asian currencies hang on to their gains so far this month. Now, we could still see more upside potentially for Asian currencies once a deal is officially signed and there is that expected rollback of tariffs. But what we have seen over the last couple of days, I think net-net there has been a disruption in the weakening bias for the yuan. That's why it's Asia's second best performer so far this month and holding around that psychological 7 level.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, Han, because we have seen the Chinese yuan or the renminbi come down below 7 to the greenback. It's not by much, though. It's only at 6.9927, I think, as we speak. But again, is this just a moment of strength, at least, that will prove rather fleeting for the renminbi? And do you think that the odds of it going back above 7 are actually rather high, given we still have some of these economic downturns and possible headwinds to deal with, separate from this possible interim deal?
Yeah, and that's a great question, JP. And look, I mean, keep in mind that seven level is psychological, right? I think the yuan's near-term performance is very much contingent on external factors. So if we do see material progress in this U.S.-China trade talks, if we do see that trade deal actually being signed, be it this month or next month, right? I mean, we know there has been a bit of fudging when it comes to the timeline and even the location, but all these factors have a big say on how not just the yuan but Asian currencies as a whole perform, because markets have placed so much expectations on the outcome from these trade talks between the U.S. and China.
All right. Han, let's shift over to one particular safe haven that's gotten a lot of attention also recently over the course of this ongoing trade tensions that we're seeing from the U.S. and China. That's the Japanese yen. We have seen it weaken a bit on this news of perhaps just easing tensions between the U.S. and China. But then again, there are a couple of factors to take into mind. For one, we've noticed that foreign funds have been flocking to some of these markets like the Japanese, like the Nikkei in recent weeks because of these cheaper valuations seen out there. But then people have highlighted that if more foreign funds start to come to Japan, it could actually strengthen the yen. Plus, also Mitsubishi today saying that their average outlook, 12-month outlook for the yen will be at about 107 to the greenback. For anybody who's hoping for a weaker yen so they can go visit Tokyo, I mean, what does this mean, actually? Do you think that we could actually see a return to strength, at least, for the Japanese currency?
The short answer here, and I apologize if I sound like a broken record, but again, it's dependent on the risk appetite that's out there in the markets, right? But going back to that correlation between the Nikkei 225 and the yen that you brought up, looking at the latest data on Bloomberg, foreign investors have net bought about $30 billion worth of Japanese stocks. But because of these foreign funds undertaking currency hedging activities, that has dampened the yen's performance. So in other words, you have this inverse relationship between the yen and the Nikkei 225. I think that's important to keep in mind. And then you couple that inverse relationship with the risk appetite that has made a resurgence. Granted, some of that edge has been taken off given the headlines that we saw overnight, but investors are still having this base case whereby they expect a signed U.S.-China trade deal before 2019 is over. So that's dampening safe haven assets. You know, so with those two factors in play, I think at least for the near term, we could see the Japanese yen hold above 109 against the U.S. dollar. Any strengthening will again be contingent on what comes out of U.S.-China trade talks.
Fascinating. We're still speaking to Han Tan of FXTM today on Forex Fridays. Han, I want to shift our attention now to the region. Again, I do want to look at the what you've called one of the sexiest currencies this year, the Thai baht. We are a couple of days after the Bank of Thailand decided to make that rate cut, and they have said that they might have some room to do more next year. Do you think this could be the end of this is the max that the Thai baht can lift at, or do you think that we could see sustained strength for the Thai baht heading into 2020? Because it's looking likely that they're going to end this year as the strongest performer in the ASEAN currency space.
Yeah, you're right, and I share that same outlook as well, and I expect the Thai baht to still hold on to a year-to-date gain when all is said and done. Now, granted, we have seen that year-to-date gain thin out since last month, but I think overall, going back to monetary policy, look, interest rates already at a record low, 1.25%, so it really calls into question how much policy space the Bank of Thailand has to curb the baht's strength. We note the other measures to facilitate capital outflows as well. So all that has contributed to the baht being Asia's second worst performer so far this month. Look, we go back to the U.S.-China trade deal, right? Because so much of the baht strength has been attributed to the its status as a safe haven asset, and that's why it's been gaining for much of this year. So as that optimism around the trade deal climbs, that's if it climbs further, then we could see the baht give up more of its year-to-date gains.
All right, Han. Well, here's something, and here's a potential contender to the baht's crown this year, and that happens to be the Philippine peso. The currency out in Manila has been strengthening. It's at 50.54 against the greenback. The Banco Central in the Philippines has said there's no more rate cuts this year. Seems that many investors are running after Philippine bonds because of the relatively high yields. And keep in mind, we're also in the Christmas season when consumer sentiment in the Philippines tends to pick up. Do you think that they can actually mount a sizable challenge and continue to strengthen and come closer to the baht in terms of year-to-date strength? Or do you think this is probably as good as it gets for the Philippine peso?
Look, I think there is some more upside to be had here. Look, I think the peso is in a good position to claim more ground against the dollar before 2019 is over. Look, it's already gained something like 2.6% against the dollar so far this quarter, third best performer in the region so far this month. Keep in mind, the Philippines has sizable real yields, also a narrowing trade deficit. And like you mentioned, it's Christmas season. Not only do you have a robust consumption during that time of the year, but you've also got this seasonal year-end inflows of remittances. So that is supportive of the peso as well. But I think I'll be remiss if I didn't mention this caveat here, whereby, look, the Philippines is not as exposed to global trade conditions as some of its regional peers, like Singapore and Malaysia, for example. So it might not benefit as much from a U.S.-China trade deal, again, if it actually happens before 2019 is over. And so, on that account, long story short, I expect some upside, but it might be mitigated with other more trade-dependent currencies taking full advantage of those conditions.
All right, fascinating outlook for the ASEAN currency space there. We'll have to leave it there, but we'd like to thank Han Tan of FXTM for joining us this afternoon on Forex Fridays.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.